Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and as usual, I am joined on the virtual front porch by my colleague in neighboring, Adam Barlow-Thompson.
Hey, good neighbors. Welcome to the podcast. We are excited to have you here. We are continuing our series where we're introducing some of our board members. And so if you haven't heard the episode with Joseph Shepherd, go check that out. And today we have a board member who, honestly, if you ask anybody in Kansas, they probably know her. And I feel like she's very humble and she will not admit this, but I feel like Blanca is one of those people who is really like changing the culture of our state, not just in her region, which is in the southwest part of Kansas, but people know Blanca because she's been an activist and organizer in our state. She's the city commissioner in Dodge City, and she is working with the school district on diversity and helping parents engage with their students. She's an incredible person. And our whole Southwest Kansas cohort for our program, the Kansas Animator Network, basically was recruited by this one person. And so we're very grateful to have her on our board and here with us on our front porch. And so Blanca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Adam. My goodness, that was an amazing introduction. I almost want to be friends with that person. I'm going to start believing everything you said.
Well, it's all true. So Blanca, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why being a part of the neighboring movement in this way is something that you were willing to do.
Yeah. So yeah, Blanca Soto, I live in Dodge City, Kansas. For the last probably 10, 15 years, I have worked in all of Southwest Kansas, including Liberal, Garden City, and a couple of the smaller communities around here. I have been in my new job in the office of the ESOL and diversity for the school district in Dodge City for 2 weeks. Today is the beginning of my third week, so pretty new it is, but it's exciting. This is an office that I have really wanted to work for a long time. I am actually an immigrant. I moved to Dodge City my junior year of high school, and I was an English learner, which is under this office. And so this is really why I really wanted to work in this office, but that is actually the main reason why I am so passionate about the work that you all are doing and a lot of great organizations in the state. I came in without speaking any English, without knowing what opportunities were out there. And, you know, I throughout my years in this country, I've met a lot of amazing people, a lot of great mentors that really have, really feel that passion to help my community. My first job actually, which is, I talk about it quite often, but was not even a job. I was a volunteer for the crisis center of Dodge City, and I was doing helping out with giving out food and clothes to the families. And I loved it so much, and I just enjoyed the people that were coming in and the conversations that we were having. And most of the staff at that point were only English speakers, and I was really learning English, mostly speaking Spanish. And, you know, I just felt that connection to the clients that were coming in for food and clothes. And, you know, I really enjoy that. And long story short, I made a lot of crazy mistakes, move away to the big city in Houston, Texas, and ended up coming back. And when I came back, that was my first job in Dodge City, working with the crisis center as a full-time employer. Not getting paid a whole lot because, as all of you know, working for nonprofits, we are not here to make money, but that was my first job. And, you know, it just that really, at that moment, I decided that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, was work for nonprofits and helping my community.
Yeah. So you are an immigrant, but now Dodge City is clearly home to you.
Yes.
And I'm curious, like, so for people listening to the podcast may not know Kansas very well, but Kansas, like when you're in Kansas and people say Western Kansas, there's often some stigma around that. And there's this imagery of like the tumbleweeds blowing across, you know, and not a lot of people look to those places and think of all of the assets that are there.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons we are trying to shine a light on that area, because we know that there is amazing things happening in your area. So tell us, why do you love Southwest Kansas and Dodge City so much?
Well, first of all, we do have tumbleweeds everywhere. So that is a true statement. I am not going to deny that. You travel from one community to the next. And when, you know, you're right. When we talk about Western Kansas, the distances that we have to travel to just go to Walmart are great for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so on your way to Walmart from one small town to the big city of Dodge City, for example, you're going to encounter a lot of tumbleweeds on the way. But besides tumbleweeds, you're gonna find a great sense of community everywhere you go. I think that's why a lot of people like myself that have left many times to go in search of better life in the big cities, we end up coming back because there is something that you can't find anywhere. At least I didn't. I lived in Houston, I lived in New York, and I lived in North Central Kansas. For those of you who live there, also very rural, but very different. And I never felt the love of the community and that really friendly community as I felt in Dodge City. And I know that's true for Garden City and Liberal as well, but well, maybe not so much Liberal. For those of you who are listening, I love you, but you need to work together a little better. I think this is, it's really just so awesome to go out and you know everyone and people are friendly and you know, everyone wants to help each other. Dodge City it's very different. So when I moved to the United States a couple of decades ago, I don't want to say my age, but you know, or for example, the classroom that I was learning English was a very small classroom with about 20 students, and it was literally tucked in behind the body shop of the school.
Oh, wow.
And it was crazy. And so nowadays the program is so large because we have people from all different cultures. You know, at one point when I came in, most of the people were from Mexico. Now we have so many cultures and so many languages. We have people from Somalia, we have people from Congo, we have people from South America, and just everywhere. I don't think I can list every nationality that we have here. It's so much that our ESL program now, it's so large that we serve about 40% of the population in the school district are English learners, 40%. It's a massive program with students, you know, teachers who are dedicated just for our students that are English learners. About 70% of the population is Latino, 70%, which is just amazing. So, you know, I know you guys have great restaurants in Wichita, but if you come to Western Kansas, you're going to have really authentic food from, we have amazing Mexican restaurants, we have pupusas from El Salvador, we have the best Laos, Laotian food, the best, Vietnamese, I mean, we just have a little bit of everything, and that really talks about who we are as a community, and, you know, of course, everybody loves food, and I think that's what brings people together. And so I think that's one of the things that we are most proud is our food and the diversity that is reflected on our restaurants and our small businesses. It's just amazing. I don't think you can walk into downtown and you're going to see who Dodge City is just by walking and seeing all the businesses there.
What are the challenges that you see to having such a diverse community and an influx of diversity? But then also kind of following up on the restaurant comment, like what are the gifts and the benefits of having such a diverse mm-hmm. community that you're finding?
Yeah. So, you know, I think with anything, there's a lot of challenges. You know, I think our community has prepared over the last 20, 30 years for having bilingual translators in most doctor's offices and businesses. And I'm talking about Spanish. But nowadays we need more than just Spanish. That's like the basic, right? So we need to really prepare our community to service all of our community as a whole. And like I said, we have so many languages that we need to have that availability. And so I think also as minorities, I think sometimes we are very territorial and we're like, okay, we already struggle for this many years. We're not going to make it easy for somebody else. And I think, you know, that's the challenge of being able to play together, to work together, to overcome these challenges, to be good neighbors, really. That's what it all boils down to, is how can we work together and play nice and be friendly to our neighbors and help them. You know, we already struggle for all these years to find our space. How can we help those that are new to this country that they still haven't been able to find that place, make it a lot easier, because we struggle, we don't want anybody else to struggle. So that's one of the challenges. Also, distance really is, we have a lot of challenges in being able to get quality healthcare, quality services. We, for most specialties in the medical field, we have to travel to, whether it's Hutchinson or Wichita or Kansas City, Denver. And that is easy for some people, but, you know, we, at the majority of our workers are at the packing plants. And so it's hard for them to get out of work because, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, they have added challenges that, you know, they need a job. If they get fired, there's just not a lot of options in this area. So that is one of the biggest, is distance to quality services. And, you know, I know working in this field in social services, I've encountered some great people that, you know, there's just good neighbors that are happy to give rides to other communities, to our family members, or, you know, different help of that sort. But not always, can we find rights for all of our community to go to Wichita for a doctor's appointment or go to Wichita for an immigration appointment, which is something that, you know, there's great individuals with the city and other organizations that are really trying to provide a lot of those services in this community, so our people don't have to travel far. Specifically, our immigration services they have a mobile unit that the city of Dodge City has been amazing in making sure that those services come to our community, because they understand the challenges of so many people trying to travel far. And when we have, you know, as many immigrants in our community, it's just a given that we shall have some of that in this side of the state. But with that, there's also a lot of benefits. Like I said, I can't think of a better place for my children to grow up, being around all these languages, all these different cultures. I know that a lot of people talk about New York, you know, the melting pot and all these beautiful things.
Yes.
We have that in Dodge City. You don't have to go to New York to experience great food, to experience people of different cultures. You know, my kids are not sheltered in that sense. They know what's out there. Yeah. We have it. We have all the diversity that places like New York or California or, you know, Florida have. We just have a lot of that. And I think it's important for kids to grow up understanding that there are people with a lot of different backgrounds, and that everyone has so much to offer, all that rich diversity and understanding of the world, right? That our perspective is, and it's not this narrow vision, that there's a lot of different perspectives and ideas and points of view. So that is one of the biggest, I think, assets of growing up in a community so like great. This.
I just love how, like, you just are blowing up so many stereotypes of small town, rural Kansas. Like, it's not a bunch of white people. It's not a bunch of farmers. It's not a bunch of, you know, like, of people who are stuck in their ways. Like, it's this amazing, diverse, rich group of people. That's so beautiful. We do have a trip planned soon, and I'm so excited. Like, I've never, if you would have told, I grew up in Kansas, right? And if you would have told me when I was 18 that I would be so excited to go to Dodge City, Like, you, 18-year-old Adam would be like, you're totally screwed up. I don't know what you're thinking. That's a terrible place. Don't go there. And hearing you talk, I can't wait to go to Dodge City. I'm so excited about it.
Right. Yeah. And we need to get other people excited about it. That's the thing. A lot of people either from, you know, Eastern Kansas do think that, you know, if we're just a farming community, which we are. I mean, agriculture is still a big part of our economy. So that is still going to be there. But, you know, when you see and you walk around this town and other communities, you're going to see that there's a mix of everything. You're going to have, you know, at a nice Vietnamese restaurant, you're going to have a farmer that just came out and really they don't have time to come and eat, but, you know, whatever. You know, next to a guy that works at the packing plant that, you know, speaks no English, that's just who we are. And that's an everyday thing. Yeah, absolutely. You should be excited. And we need to get other people excited. We need to get our people that live in this community excited about what we do have. And that's something that really excited me about the work that you all are doing. It's really working on, you know, what assets do we have? Why is it that we're still here? Why is it that, you know, it's great when we go to Kansas City for the weekend, but why do we keep coming back? Why have we not left? And really showcasing the things that we do have available and, you know, not forgetting, because I think it sometimes it's easy to forget and complain about, you know, oh, we don't have a Target here, or we don't have, we don't, and we need it. We need it. But at the same time, you know, we have so many other small businesses that offer some interesting things, some unique things, and, you know, being able to support one another in our businesses and what's happening in our community and remembering why we're still here.
But I'm curious, and for folks who aren't from Kansas, what is the population of Dodge City?
Well, officially and unofficially, that's kind of like two different things. And that's very true. So, you know, as both of you know, I worked on the census campaign for Kansas Appleseed. And, you know, the numbers unofficially came out not long ago, or they haven't officially came out. But the census estimated that we are about 34,000. The last census estimated that, or the community survey estimated that we were about 26. But the school district numbers really have the community more in the, like 36,000. And those are the unofficial numbers. We know that because we have a large immigrant population, a lot of our community are still fearful to report on the census, simply because, you know, there was a lot of controversy, especially in the last year, on whether, you know, a lot of this self-reporting was going to be sent to immigration, and people were just worried about claiming themselves. But that's, you know, that's something that we're still overcoming, and the fear and really debunking a lot of the myths, which is normal with, you know, last year was kind of hard to see what was true and what was not, and which is a big issue with our community because there's the trust factor is huge. But yeah, we are about, I will say about 35, just to be generous with that amount. And like I said, 70% of them are Latino, not minority, Latino. And then you add a lot of the other cultures and backgrounds that we have here, you know, you will see that at least 75% are minorities. And at least the school district estimates 40% of those are English learners. So yeah, it's very new community. We have a lot of young people, which is one of the things, you know, I really think we need to capitalize on how young our population is, because I think there's also a misconception that rural Kansas, Western Kansas is aging. And, you know, that's not true for at least Garden City, Liberal, and Dodge. We have a very young population.
That's, again, just busted myths like crazy. Now, you said 70% are Latina. So, and you're on the city commission, right?
Yes.
And how many city commissioners are there?
There's five.
And how many of them are Latino?
Only myself. I'm the only woman.
Oh, that's the wrong math. That math didn't work.
Well, you know, and that's something that we are changing. We are really working hard and changing those demographics. This is something that is going to take a while, but there's a group of great people in Western Kansas that we are coming together to change the demographics for Garden City, for Liberal, and for Dodge City, because Garden City and Liberal have very similar demographics than we do, and they don't have anyone on city commission or county commission that reflect who the population is. So I mean, this is the first time that, you know, we have someone that was the first female Latina to be on city commission, which is not, to me, it's not an accomplishment. That it's almost an embarrassment that it's taking so long to get to this place. So hopefully in the next elections, things are going to look a little different, but we don't know. I am running for re-election this fall. So unfortunately, you guys can't vote for me, but if there's anyone listening from Western Kansas, please do, from Dark City, do vote for me, and do for other Latinos and other minorities. You know, I'm also the only woman on city commission. I'm the youngest and the one with less experience. But, you know, it's something that I'm working to learn and to really understand the community needs from a community perspective. I think that's something that, you know, the commissioners that are there right now, they're very knowledgeable. They're business people. They're very smart. They're, you know, they have a lot of knowledge that can benefit the commission. What I do feel my strength is that I know the community. That is something that I can bring, that I know I'm probably the strongest in that aspect, is I have worked with the community. I represent who the community looks like. And, you know, I don't understand everybody's needs, but I know how to go out there and talk to the community and ask questions. And, you know, it's been pretty awesome that since I started in city commission, I get calls and emails about things that community has questions on or complaints, or, you know, and I think that's important, that the people feel comfortable with picking up the phone and say, hey, this is not working right. And so that has been a really great experience.
Yeah, I would say that you actually may have the best experience of those available, because I don't know that experience, what I love so much about you, Blanca, is that your whole life, your whole lived experience is just giving you the wisdom you need to do the things you're doing right now. And like, it's so authentically centered in who you are. And so I would say your experience is just right for that position.
Yeah, I do agree. I think I offer a very different perspective and different point of view that the commissioners that are already there. Like I said, they have a very much a business background. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, how is the community, how is this going to benefit our community? How are we forgetting about those that we seldom forget?
Awesome.
That's where I am at.
It sounds like it's critically essential in Dodge City, and I'm sure this is true in any community, that we find ways to welcome and invite the outsiders to become a part of the community, so that we can hear their perspective and their voice and partner with them and learn together. And you know. So what suggestions would you offer to, you know, me, any of us, right, as we're listening, how can we make our communities more welcoming and more inclusive?
I think we have to get involved. That's the biggest part. I think, you know, whoever you are, whether you have a little bit of time or a lot of time, find opportunities to really plug into what's happening to your community. I think that's the biggest part. It's really being active. We can't sit back and hope for things to change. We're not taking action, whether that's a small or big step. We have to take action and plug ourselves in and find those opportunities. You know, Dark City, we actually started last year, was our second year. And with the pandemic, things obviously looked a little different, but we started what it's called Welcoming Week in September. And so, you know, for those of you who are listening or are Latinos, I despise so bad Cinco de Mayo. That is so against what I go for. So don't get offended if you celebrate it. It's just not a holiday that we celebrate in Mexico like that. It's when we celebrate it, it's more like Memorial Day. It's something, you know, you honor the people that, you know, it's a completely different thing. But, you know, in the United States, it's a huge thing for people. And we wanted to really move from, you know, this party and drinking to more of a, you know, how are we celebrating the mm-hmm. different cultures in our community, not just people from Mexico, because also Cinco de Mayo tends to be mm-hmm. pretty exclusive, right? Most Latinos might be from Mexico, but not everybody is. And so who are we as Latinos? What do we have to offer? And so Welcoming Week, there's a lot of different organizations that are part of this. The main agency is the City of Dark City, but there's a lot of us that are involved with that. And is, you know, how can this week showcase what we have to offer, and how can we welcome every single culture and background into our community? And so the first year was amazing. We had singers and dancers and a lot of awesome stuff. Last year with the pandemic, we thought it was going to be just a disaster. But to me, that was the best thing that could have happened, because we were able to showcase not just people that were in Dark City or who traveled to Dark City, but everyone in the state, mm-hmm. what Dark City has to offer. And, you know, again, I started talking about this, but what brings people together is food, right? And so I'm going to send you guys these videos, but we created this amazing videos of the different restaurants that are in the community from different cultures and backgrounds, but not just what food you have to offer, but what's your story? How did you land in Dark City? What's behind your restaurant, your dreams? And so, you know, that was really, you know, for people that go to the same restaurant all the time, mm. they don't know the struggles and the story behind this dream of this business owner. I think people reacted so well to those videos because, once again, you know, you want to learn more about that person, not just that business. And, you know, to me, that was one of the biggest teachings when I did that cohort with the Neighboring Movement, was, you know, really ask questions, get to know that person. What do they have to offer? What are their struggles? You will understand better why a certain business operates one way or the other if you know the story and the struggles and the dreams behind that person and that family. So that is really the biggest thing, is we need to get to know people for who they are, not just for what we can get from them.
Well, thank you, Blanca, so much for giving us your time and just sharing your passion and your insight. This has been wonderful, and I'm grateful. I'm feeling your advice to just get involved, which is kind of where we often end with this podcast. It's like, okay, turn off the podcast and go do something, right? Like, it's time. And but I feel inspired and motivated by what you've shared. So thank you so much for that. I also want to give a thanks to Jenna Moody for her editing work in getting the podcast all put together and posted. And thank you to Christopher Swanson, who schedules our interviews and keeps us organized, because without him, we would be a hot mess. The music that you hear in the background is provided by Brutal Bear, and you can learn more about our work by visiting our website, www.neighboringmovement.org. So thanks again for listening, and until next time, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.